हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 15. The Lord accepts prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, page 60. Similarly, the Ramarchana Chandrika states, Vinayva Diksham Viprendra Purushcharyam Vinayva Hi Vinayva Nyasa Vidhina Japa Matrena Siddhi Da. Oh, best. Siddhi Da means Da. You get Siddhi. Right?
Yeah.
Russians got one thing right, huh? The Da part. Siddhi they're working on. But, Yeah. Or unless siddhi means boiling potatoes or something. O best of the brahmanas, even without initiation, preliminary purification, or acceptance of the renounced order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. In other words, this is Prabhupada's purport. In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engaged in Pancharatra Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon, and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. Right, we see that that's a very important part, is that vanquishing the material identity. Because that's, you know, a very big discussion these days is how much people are very attached to their material identity and they want to keep it. And somehow or another, by keeping it, then they will advance in devotional service. So that's the whole point of the diksha, is helping with that part. Because notice Prabhupada says, official diksha. That means that going through the ritual, that aspect of the diksha, meaning the pancharatric aspect. Because if one's on the Uttama platform, one doesn't require that. Right? Like we see the six Goswamis, they're all direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, but they're not pancharatric diksha disciples. They're Bhagavat diksha disciples, which means siksha. So simply by hearing the siksha, they take it seriously and they advance that way. You don't see them ever discussing mundane things, mundane attachments, mundane... Like, no, they just take the instructions immediately and do it. So we see is that the point being made is the holy name is so powerful, it's complete in itself. It doesn't require anything else. So if it doesn't require these things, why would it require mundane morality, mundane social considerations, mundane economics, mundane upadis? It definitely doesn't require those if it's so independent on its own. So the principle that then is that the holy name is independent. But if you use these things, since they're recommended, it helps. Why? What does it do? It means it says very quickly your Krishna consciousness will awaken. So that means the holy name is already purifying you, already bringing you towards Krishna. But there has to be that aspect of that surrender. Otherwise, how do you get... One thing is getting out of the material world, the other is getting into the spiritual world. They're in the same direction. And so in that way, they're very compatible. But they're actually two different things. Getting into the spiritual world, that's based on bhakti. getting out of the material world, that's based on, then chanting the holy name and with time then the knowledge detachment, so you give up the material world. So the Pancharatrik Diksha helps with both. It helps focus your mind on Krishna. It helps focus your mind on the Naishkarmya. Right, because it regulates the life and everything. Because you see, is what people immediately go after on these mundane considerations is anything that regulates your life that's different than how they want to live the life. In other words, how I run my life, that's fine. They don't like any other regulation. It'll always be said to be, oh, that's some Indian ethnicity. They always reduce it to that, even though it's just straight up front, straight out of the Vedas. Does that make sense? It's just straight out of the Vedas. All these things are there. It's not Indian. You know? It's not Indian. It's Vedic. And that. And so then the Acharyas have given us this, and so then it comes down. So, but the point to be made is the holy name is that powerful. But the point is are we qualified to take advantage of that? So that's why then the Pancharatrik, associate devotees, all these things are necessary. Does that make sense? So in other words, all these technical points, renounced order, Purusharya, official, Pancharatrik Diksha, but the association of devotees, hearing, chanting about the Lord, serving the Vaishnavas, serving the... These things all remain. It never says without those. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, we have to be very careful. We don't say, oh, see? We have to avoid that stuff. Yeah?
So now, with the association of devotee, even if someone is not qualified, but gradually become qualified.
Yes, then become qualified. So that's the point, is the holy name, you don't have to be qualified to chant it. It'll make you qualified. Yes, yes. But the point is Prabhupada is saying very quickly it will help. If you use these other things, they're helpful. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yes, you could slither from here to the temple. Mm-hmm. You know, in a sense, slither. You know, like you say, like the snake, like that or something. You could get to the temple, but if you stood up and walked, it would be just so much easier.
Yes.
You know, so that's the whole point. Is when we're not qualified, these things help our qualification, so it moves quicker. Because point is, if someone with that proper qualification, then they don't require these. But those ones means you're from the get-go, you're a Nuttamadikari. You know? So if on a good day we might be a neophyte, then these things are quite helpful. So, the more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the supreme soul. Otherwise, there's no discussions on that. All these things aren't discussing the nature of the soul, nature of Godhead, and that. They're just discussing political issues. Right? So, anything that's against all this, it's all political issues or sahajiya stuff or, stuff like that. At such a time, when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with any material sound. If one accepts the Hare Krishna mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So that's the point this makes. These things are there to show the power of the name. But this is the conclusion. One should therefore be initiated properly.
Yes.
Right, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So we don't have another, we shouldn't come up with other alternatives. Although chanting the holy name is good for both the conditioned and liberated soul, it is especially beneficial to the conditioned soul because by chanting it, one is liberated. When a person who chants the holy name is liberated, he attains the ultimate perfection by returning home back to Godhead. In the words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 773, Krishna mantra haite habe samsara mochana, Krishna nama haite pabe krishnera charana. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. So the holy name will take you out of the material world. But then you need to really focus on that. So these other things are helpful. Right? The offenseless chanting of the holy name does not depend on the initiation process. Right? Because we see... what was his name? Ajamil. You know, we don't get the idea that he's specifically initiated. You know? And even if he is, it's been quite a while since he's taken proper advantage of it. You know, like, let's say, 60 years?
Yes.
You know, like that. Although initiation may depend on Purushcharya or Purushchanana, the actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on Purushcharya Vitti or the regulative principles. It means you can chant no matter what. If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. During the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. Simply by chanting the holy name, one is immediately delivered. The tongue is Sevan Mukha Jihwa. It is controlled by service. One whose tongue is engaged in tasting material things and also talking about them cannot use the tongue for absolute realization. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 17:136. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyahi. Sevan Mukhe Hi Jihwa Dao Swayam Eva Spurat Yada. With the material senses, one cannot understand the transcendental holy name of the Lord or his form, activities, and pastimes. But when one actually engages in devotional service, utilizing the tongue, the Lord is revealed. As is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 17:134, Ata Eva Krishnara Nama Deha Vihlas Prakri Tendriya Grahya Nahe Hai Swa Prakash. The holy name of Krishna, his body, and his pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifested independently. And so it's not through anything to do with the mind, intelligence, this and that. Krishna reveals that through their devotion. Right? So then it has to be, why is it someone's not initiated? They've just bumped into the devotees. They've just started, and they have that great, you know, enthusiasm and that to chant and all that, and so they're advancing. Then as they associate, see the Bhajana Kriya, then they take shelter, and then they take initiation and move forward. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly, liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions, and is so powerful that, save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purushcharya regulative principles, generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. Footnote 21. This verse is found in the Padyavali 29, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. So it doesn't wait. It's already starting. Because it's Krishna. Krishna is very enthusiastic that we come back to him. So if someone has gotten the holy name or received it in some way, heard the holy name, and they start to chant, then Krishna is very enthusiastic to bring them very quickly. So the process already starts working.
Maharaj, there are devotees in the Vaishnava community who do service and chant rounds every day for 10, 15, 20, 25 years and never get initiated.
Yeah, that means they'll always get benefit. They'll always move forward, you know. And so if you're looking at that side of it, then it's always a glorious thing. As long as it just didn't happen, that's great. That's fine. There's nothing to criticize. But the nanosecond they start making a philosophy out of it, then then we don't have much good to say about their philosophy. Because immediately, why you're not taking initiation? Because it's like, they're not, you're not worried about it. You know, with time it'll come, they'll chant, they'll associate, and at one point when they, when that purity is there, then they'll find the importance to it, that surrender to guru and this and that. So, you know, it might be better for your own mental satisfaction to not ask, you know, like that. Because if you ask, it means, but so, therefore it doesn't matter. But if they start saying, see here says we don't have to, you know, why they're pressuring, you know, what is this nonsense, you know, this is all a trick, no, we don't have to, like that, right there, they're already now not on the path. Because the point is they're not, it's about them not doing, not about the holy name so glorious. Because otherwise, even they read, they go, oh, great, and just keep on chanting. So in other words, if you're making a philosophy to justify your material position, there's already something wrong. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's like, if they're there and they're enthusiastic in that, great, fine. You know? You see others that they've already got second initiation after 3 months. You know? And then there's, like you said, the ones 15, 20 years and still, you know, they have, you know, they don't even have, you know, an idea of a guru yet. You know, this one's nice, that one's nice, but it doesn't matter. If they remember Krishna, then they'll go back to Godhead. But the point is why depend on those things? You know, it's just like Kripa Siddhi. You don't depend upon that. So we focus on sadhana siddha. We do that nicely, or archan siddha. Like that. We do the process recommended very nicely. That's what we focus on. That's the recommendation. But yes, we're very comfortable with devotee. They're coming regular, they're doing service, we're happy. We don't need to bother them. So those that bother, no, unless you're this, you're not getting it, that's unnecessary. But the correction to that is not swinging the other way. And you know, taking up some political position. So it's very important that there's, you know, this is the standard. This is what we follow. Prabhupada said it right there. And if that's not good enough for anybody, it's kind of like, why do we even care for these people? Prabhupada said it. They don't like it. You know, we wish them well. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about the other groups of gopis. You know, that they're not serving Radharani. We respect them. You know, they're doing their service and all that. Respect them well, but we don't get very close with them. It's not our business. They're in a different, you know, kind of scene. We don't care. You know, we meet them, we'll deal nicely, the etiquette, everything's there properly. But we're not going to get close with them. So it's the same principle. Our acharya said, this is how it's done, this is how it's done. And if somebody needs to take, you know, 50 years to find their guru, that's, you know, new one Mataji, she was around, been around like forever. She was, I'm not sure what age was, maybe in her 70s or something like that. She had joined late. And then somehow or another, she just said, okay, maybe it's, you know, I should get, she was here in Mayapur, decided, you know, let's get serious in that. And it was coming up and approached Jai Pataka Maharaj.
She used to come.
She took initiation like that, went back, she wasn't feeling well, they did, she was 4-stage cancer, 6 months later she's dead. So somehow Krishna worked it out. So it doesn't matter, you know. It doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing, is we have to see is that when that clarity of purpose and that aspect is there, that's what we're talking about, is the pure devotion. But when we have some attachments, and because of our social attachments to a status and position and facility, we try to make up philosophies and all that, then right there, then that's not sincere. It doesn't matter how well it's thought out, how you know, like this and that. Because we have to remember, rhetoric is not the purpose of logic. Does that make sense? Siddhanta. And, you know, otherwise, why would Prabhupada spend 3 pages on this? And then the conclusion is, after all those, and he quoted every verse that says it's not necessary, and then showed what it is, and then said, therefore, one should take initiation. You know, so that's what our acharya does. If you don't want to follow our acharya, you got someone else to follow, good luck. Hey, you know, you could always try Alfred E. Newman, you know, he's popular. At least used to be. Alfred E. Newman? No? No? You know. No? You're the only one that knows. Okay. His motto was, "What me worry?" No.
You know so many things, Maharaj. I don't know.
Yeah, so many useless things like that. Yes.
That was this 22, whatever it was.
No, that's a different thing.
No, it's from the same time.
This one goes way back further. This goes way back. I think they're still running now, but it's. But I'm not sure. You don't hear about it much. Okay. So here. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then fully advised. One who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is so understood to be a Vaishnava, therefore you should offer all respects to him. So that's the point, Bhaktivinoda Kaurmik, we offer all respects. And so if they're associating with the devotees, they're doing, but it's just somehow or another it's never come up, like that aspect, and like that, it's never become important for them, that respects is there. And if they've decided, no, this is going to be my uniqueness and my status in life, that, you know, I don't follow in quoting from we also offer respects, but, you know, the distance might be a little bit more that we offer that respects from. Like that.
That's where social distancing comes
from. Yes, social distancing comes from how far away you stay from the other groups. You know, it's just like living here, there's so many groups here, and it's like our life goes on, has zero to do with dependence on anything else. But if you hear about the ones that have gone from here to those other groups, their whole discussions is always about ISKCON.
Yes.
And people in the West know more about what's going on here and that than we do living right here, because we just could not care less. I mean, really, we just don't care. You know, and there's no necessity. Srila Prabhupada. In his Upadeshamrita 5, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishnaiti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati bis cha bhajantam isham. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform. Chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura comments that serving the Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. Properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. It is the duty of the householder to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnava. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Therefore, anybody who's nicely and sincerely chanting, they will be respectful. So, yeah, because you will find those, they are initiated, they have problems. Like that. But they're still respected because they're chanting.
Yes.
And so then someone even who's not initiated, they're still respected. So anybody who's chanting, that all has to be respected. And then you see if it's that offenseless chanting, that pure chanting and all that, even no matter what their position, then they're especially going to be, you know. Yes. Yeah. 215, 112, 120. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons: Mukunda Das, Raghunandana, and Sri Narahari, the inhabitants of the place called Kunda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next asked Mukunda Das, "You are the father, and your son is Raghunandana. Is that so?" Or is Srila Raghunandana your father and you are his son? Please let me know the facts so my doubts will go away. Mukunda replied, Raghunandana is my father and I am his son. This is my decision. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunandana. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father. Hearing Mukunda Das give this proper decision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed it, saying, yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly the spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had five faces. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed all his devotees, please hear about Mukunda's love of Godhead. It is a very deep and pure love and can only be compared to purified gold. Mukunda Das externally appears to be a royal physician engaged in governmental service. But internally, he has a deep love for Krishna. Who can understand his love? Srila Prabhupada. Unless Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discloses the fact, no one can understand who is actually a great devotee of the Lord engaged in his service. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 23:39, Tara Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabhujaya. Even the most perfect and learned scholar cannot understand a Vaishnava's activities. Vaishnava be engaged in governmental service or in a professional business, so that externally one cannot understand his position. Internally, however, he may be a Nitya Siddha Vaishnava. That is, an eternally liberated Vaishnava. Externally, Mukunda Das was a royal physician, but internally he was the most liberated Paramahamsa devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this very well, but ordinary men could not understand it, for the activities and plans of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by ordinary men. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representative understand everything about a devotee, even though the devotee may externally pretend to be an ordinary householder and professional businessman. And so these external situations like that, it's how you engage in the Lord's service, how you identify yourself, how you connect these things to Krishna. That defines. It's not what position you're in. It's how you're connecting that to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is it important for devotees to not judge, but to recognize a devotee's advancement level of advancement in order to be able to relate properly to that person?
Means it's given as simple that someone who's you know been properly initiated by diksha and everything, you know, you mentioned like that, then one is offering obeisances to such person, you know, someone who's worshiping a deity, all these things like that. Then others, then he's offering respects too. So in other words, always respect is there. So it's just a matter, it doesn't matter if they're more than you, it's just your position that is there. Does that make sense? Because you may not be able to understand the internal mood, so the external form, you can use that from. But at the same time is, then when you see symptoms that they're always nicely engaged and qualities and all that, then you may be more. Because basically you can't really understand someone above you. You know, equal, junior, then you can have an idea, but above, no. So you have to be, you can only go by the mechanical symptoms that the acharyas and the scriptures give.
Because devotees may have this principle that based on the advancement they will surrender. But if they don't know how advanced the person is, then they may be...
But then how will they? His point is, they can only surrender if they're advanced, but because they're not that advanced, they can't know if they are. That's our catch 22. There's the example. So the point is that then it's just a matter of, are they initiated? Right? Are they serving the deity? Are they, you know, regularly doing service and things like that? So therefore, then they're advanced. And then if that's the person you're supposed to work under, why you won't surrender? We have a hierarchy. That's why we have these hierarchies, so that you know who's who. You know, they're the temple president. You listen to them. You know? Like that, the GBCs, sannyasis, the preachers, you listen. And then those who are in the position, who are, you know, giving guidance or giving shelter and all that, then those ones, then you can look to them for where your going to, you know, have that surrender as an initiating spiritual master. So in other words, it's a little bit used, but it's not too much. All these things, it's just how much is necessary. They can't get into too much detail and exactly how much, you know, on a scale of, you know, how you say, 1 to 1,008, you know, where is he? You know, well, this one's at, I think he's at about 973, but, you know, this one might be 974, so shouldn't we surrender to him and not this one? And
it shouldn't. That can be offensive.
Hmm?
It can be offensive.
Yes. So the point is there's no question of at any time being that just because they're not the most advanced that you don't deal properly. Etiquette's always there. So.
Right. This is the point. The etiquette will protect you from trying to speculate about the person.
Yeah, because otherwise, unless you go by the symptoms, then that's all the farther you can do. You know? And like that. You're smiling.
I met a devotee recently. He said, I can follow somebody and he's a Nitya Siddha because just by his glance I should be able to chant about him. So that's how I will decide.
So they're from Russia? No?
They're the prototypes from India.
Ah, they're the ones that next life become Russians. Okay, I got it.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Just by glancing. Yeah. Go for it, you know. Has he found that glance yet? No, okay, yeah.
After that, another comment comes. I don't know, you know, please enlighten.
Yeah, it means these things are nice, but at the same time, as how do you know that they haven't given that glance? You're just not qualified enough to take advantage. I mean, you see in the Shastra so many of these things happening, but then the people that they hear once, they come in contact once, and they're completely committed.
Maybe they missed the glance.
Sorry?
They missed the glance, maybe.
They missed the glance. It went to the guy next to him. He jumped in front of me. That was my glance. You know? Yeah. Like that. He stole my glance. You know?
Because glance has a frequency, huh?
Frequency. Ah, he could tune in anyway.
It's not like...
It could bounce around. You could still catch it.
To go online, you know, you have to be close enough.
Can you get the glance on Zoom?
Definitely
on Zoom. Okay.
Especially if you're close. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Why not? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. One day, Mukunda Das, the royal physician, was seated with the Muslim king on a high platform and was telling the king about medical treatment. While the king and Mukunda Das were conversing, a servant brought a fan made of peacock feathers to shade the king's head from the sun. Consequently, he held the fan above the king's head. Just by seeing the peacock-feathered fan, Mukunda Das became absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna and fell from the high platform onto the ground. The king, fearing that the royal physician had been killed, personally descended and brought him to consciousness. When the king asked Mukunda, "Where is it paining you?" Mukunda replied, "I am not very much pained." The king then inquired, "Mukunda, why did you fall down?" Mukunda replied, "My dear king, I have a disease like epilepsy." Being extraordinarily intelligent, the king could understand the whole affair. In his estimation, Mukunda was a most uncommon, exalted, liberated personality. Raghunandana is constantly engaged in serving Lord Krishna in the temple. Beside the entrance of the temple is a lake, and on its banks is a kadamba tree, which daily delivers two flowers to be used for Krishna's service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again spoke to Mukunda with sweet words. "Your duty is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. Furthermore, it is the duty of Raghunandana to always engage in Lord Krishna's service. He has no other intention but the service of Lord Krishna." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Narahari, I wish you to remain here with my devotees. In this way, the three of you should always execute these three duties for the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set forth three duties for three different people. Mukunda was to earn money and follow the religious principles, whereas Narahari was to remain with the Lord's devotees, and Raghunandana was to engage in the Lord's service in the temple. Thus, one person worships in the temple, another earns money honestly by executing his professional duty, and yet another preaches Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Apparently, these three types of service appear separate, but actually they are not. When Krishna Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the center, or is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. That is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So any position can be used and connected to the Lord. But the point is, it's about the Lord, because Krishna is the center. That has to be the point. Then from there you can come out in so many different aspects of become connected. That's the point. You have to start from there. You can't start the other way around. You know, it means you may be taking your position and connecting it to Krishna, and that's all right if one's following the instructions and directions and one's steadily making that progress. But one has to be very careful that one doesn't get distracted, and then one's own position as a central position then becomes the prominent, and then Krishna's using his excuse for that. That you have to be careful of. Right? Yes?
I think it's the story between Mukunda Raghunandan is the boy when he was a small child. One day when his father went for king, to the king, and he asked Raghunandan to make offering. And that's when Krishna appeared.
So, is that the one with the offering where he ate everything? And then the father saying, "Why? You know, what happened?" Yeah. Okay. Nice.
That's why they said, because first he saw, then the parents could see Lord Krishna directly.
Okay.
By his mercy. Yes. But he's the father.
Okay. Well.
So Maharaj, can you say that these three examples show the principle to engage under authority?
Yes, under authority according to your nature.
Everything in the service of the Lord according to our nature.
Yes.
Under authority.
Yes, yes. That's there. Because here, Lord Chaitanya is saying what should be done, like that, and they're being engaged according to what is their natural proclivities. So that's the thing, is that since Krishna is everything, then everything position can be connected.
Yes.
But it's because it's Krishna, and its connection to Krishna, that's what makes it important.
Yes.
We don't bring in all these, you know, material considerations.
Yes.
And then try to make that the basis of the discussion.
Yes.
You know.
Otherwise it can become upadi.
Otherwise it's an upadi, yes. You know, like Prabhupada would say, you're behaving like a Shudra. He never would say you are a Shudra.
Yes. Like that.
So you can behave like a Westerner, but you never are a Westerner. Otherwise, if you're taking that, the real Westerners are in the Orient, as we discussed before. So that means the Chinese and the Thais, that they're the Westerners. And of them, the Burmese are the most Westerners. They're like the epitome of Westerners. And everybody else is, you know, as you go. So you know, from there, Europe, they're basically in the East, you know. You know, how you say, America's like the Midwest. You want to get it riled up, tell him that. You know. Because in their mind, that's where all the farmers are and all that. Yeah, so you're a Midwestern, okay, yeah. No, I'm from New York. No, yeah, that's what I said, Midwest.
(laughs) 2:5, 133, 136. Out of his causeless mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the following directions to the brothers, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachaspati. They're brothers. Oh, okay. Okay, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left and ended up in Puri, so then Vidya Vachaspati, he stayed in the home. So that's why then Lord Chaitanya went to him, because he was supposed to study under Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
But he was gone, so then he studied under Vidya Vachaspati. So that means that place on that side, that was their original residence. Vidyanagar. Yes, Vidyanagar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in this age of Kali, Krishna is manifested in two forms, wood and water. Thus, by enabling the conditioned souls to see the wood and bathe in the water, he helps them become liberated. Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Lord himself in the form of wood, and the river Ganges is the Supreme Lord himself in the form of water. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you should engage in the worship of Lord Jagannath, Purushottama, and and Vachaspati, who lived in Vidyanagar on the western side of Navadvip near Koladweep, should worship Mother Ganges. 215-137-154. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Murari Gupta and began to speak about his firm faith and devotional service. This was heard by all the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, previously I induced Murari Gupta again and again to be allured by Lord Krishna. I said to him, my dear Gupta, Lord Sri Krishna, Vajendra Kumar, is the supreme sweetness. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the origin of all incarnations, and the source of everything. He is pure transcendental love itself, and he is the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He is like a mine of gems. He is expert at everything, very intelligent and sober. And he is the summit of all transcendental humors. His character is very sweet, and his pastimes are melodious. He is expert in intelligence. And thus he enjoys all his pastimes and mellows. I then requested Murari Gupta worship Krishna and take shelter of him, but for his service nothing appeals to the mind. In this way he heard from me again and again. By my influence his mind was a little converted. Murari Gupta then replied, I am your servant and your order carrier. I have no independent existence. After this Murari Gupta went home and spent the whole night thinking I would have to give up the association of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra. Thus, he was overwhelmed. Murari Gupta then began to pray at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. He prayed that death would come that night because it was not possible for him to give up the service of the lotus feet of Raghunath. Thus, Murari Gupta cried the entire night. There was no rest for his mind. Therefore, he could not sleep but stayed awake the entire night. In the morning, Murari Gupta came to see me. Catching hold of my feet and crying, he submitted an appeal. Murari Gupta said, I have sold my head unto the lotus feet of Raghunath. I cannot withdraw my head, for that would give me too much pain. It is not possible for me to give up the service of Raghunath's lotus feet. At the same time, if I do not do so, I break your order. What can I do? In this way, Murari Gupta appealed to me, saying, you are all merciful, so kindly grant me this mercy. Let me die before you so that all my doubts will be finished. Hearing this, I became very happy. I then raised Murari Gupta and embraced him. I said to him, all glories to you, Murari Gupta. Your method of worship is very firmly fixed, so much so that even upon my request, your mind did not turn. The servant must have love and affection for the lotus feet of the Lord exactly like this. Even if the Lord wants separation, a devotee cannot abandon the shelter of his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada. The word Prabhu or master indicates that the Lord is to be continuously served by his devotee. The original Prabhu is the Lord, Sri Krishna. Nonetheless, there are many devotees attached to Lord Ramachandra. And Murari Gupta is a vivid example of such unalloyed devotion. He never agreed to give up Lord Ramachandra's worship, not even upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request. Such is the chastity of devotional service. As stated in the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, 446-47. Se bhakta danya jay na chare prabhura charana. Se prabhu danya jay na chare nija jana. Durdaive sevaka jadi jaya anya stane Se Thakur Anya Tare Kule Dhari Ane. In a firm relationship with the Lord, the devotee does not give up the Lord's service under any circumstances. As far as the Lord himself is concerned, if the devotee chooses to leave, the Lord brings him back again, dragging him by the hair. 215, 155 to 157. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued speaking to Murari Gupta. Right, so you see is that the Lord's affection to the devotee is so great, so he's not going to let him get away so easily. They may go off and get involved in this and that, but then he brings them back.
Literally,
Yeah, dragging him by the hair. They come back. 215, 155, 157. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued speaking to Murari Gupta. Just to test your firm faith in your Lord, I requested you again and again to change your worship from Lord Ramachandra to Krishna. In this way, I congratulated Murari Gupta, saying, indeed, you are the incarnation of Hanuman. Consequently, you are the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. Why should you give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra and his lotus feet? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I accept this Murari Gupta as my life and soul. When I hear of his humility, it perturbs my very life. 215, 158, 163. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudev Dutta, began to speak of his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him, Vasudev Dutta immediately became very much embarrassed and shy. He then submitted himself, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudev Dutta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition, which I wish you would accept. My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful. If you so desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the suffering of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura gives the following commentary on this verse. In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudev Dutta Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced, even when compared with Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed only his followers, relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions. But Vasudev Dutta is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So the comparative position of Vasudev Dutta is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so literal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudev Dutta Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord.
The question comes up when you discuss with Krishna. Basically, Bhaya Siddhanta is Jesus said, if you surrender now to Jesus, you're saved. That saving is it mercy? Because it's not because they are being saved that the heart has changed. The bad habits still continue.
Right.
So when Vasudev Dutta is prepared to take upon himself all the conditioned souls, means he takes their sinful reactions so they can be free to go. But it doesn't seem to be the same in Christianity when people are being saved.
Because they're saved means that you go to heaven, not hell. That's the consideration. It means, unless you bring it up in discussion, it's not about developing love and all that. So that saved just means, you know, you're saved from, you know, the hellish condition. Because, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's either you go to heaven or you go to hell. Right? You know. And so being saved means then you can go to heaven. That's one thing. But then at the same time, as you could also ask, okay, you accept Jesus, you'll be saved. That's nice. Okay, and then what denomination were you talking to?
Catholics.
Catholics. Okay, so are the Orthodox saved or the Orientals? What about the Protestants?
No, I know.
But they all accept Jesus in their heart? They all accept Jesus in their heart. So is it that simple?
But Jesus wasn't a Catholic. He wasn't a Christian.
He was a Jew. That's the whole point. So, I mean, get it together. You know, come on.
He was a reformative rabbi.
Yeah. He was a rabbi preaching bhakti to the smartas. That's what he was doing. You know? But, you know, you can't buck the system. And so.
They have a vivid example.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's another saying, you can't fight City Hall. So like that. It's the point of your accepting. So that's nice, but then what are you going to do? Yeah, so you've accepted. Now are you going to do something with that? That's one of the points of that is there, as we saw, we were discussing some, you know, it came up recently also, that... I think Jiva Goswami brings it up a few times, that you're understanding a verse, you're taking the direct meaning. And so that's being controlled by the Abhida Shakti. Right? And so then understanding that and applying that point of the scripture, that's Abhideya. So the point is here, okay, yes, you surrender and you be saved. But now what are you going to do with that? How will that change your life and all that? Okay, you're saved. Now how will that change your life? How do we know you're a saved person? You know? Otherwise, if it doesn't matter, then why does anybody, if you just, all you have to do is accept Jesus and then you continue doing whatever you're doing.
Prabhupada brings that up in the first text of Upadeshamrita, the process of atonement.
With
the process of atonement.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Because otherwise, it's, you know, it's like that. You know, Prabhupada says, you go, you sit in the box, you tell the priest this, that, then you go out of the box and do whatever you want. Come back the next week, sit in the box again, you know. Yes.
Also, it's many times pointed out when the Vaishnava says that relief from the suffering, like the definition of suffering is being separated from Krishna.
Yes.
And not suffering is your natural position serving Krishna.
Yes.
Relieving the suffering means actually bringing back.
Yeah, so he means they'll all go back to Godhead. You know, they're not going to stay here. So that's why he says that they're, you know, millions of times more merciful. You know, because his point was he was preaching in that local region and trying to get them to, you know, improve their generally lower quality of anamoy and try to bring it up to at least a better quality of pranamoy, with, so at least, you know, like that. Though at the same time, you know, the theistic aspect was there. So in other words, philosophically they were theistic, but as far as religion goes, it was sub-religious. It wasn't theistic because it was just whatever the lifestyle. Like that, so it's there's greater there, because like you said, they go back to Godhead. But here he was talking about that. But when does that ever come up? Whoever catches that from his teachings, you know. So the point is, it's not that he can't do all these things. I mean, he's a personified Veda. You know, so it's not that he doesn't know all the stuff to say. It's just that I think there's that one famous one, you know, there's more I could tell you, but you can't bear to hear, something like that. There's some verse like that. You know, so you know, just not being so grossly materialistic of, you know, how you say, making the temple into a marketplace, you know, kind of like, you know, get that out. The temple's for the worship. Yeah. Do the market, you know, on the other side of the street or something, you know. But, you know, he's trying to just get a little bit of basic, you know, because you can only preach for what's there. So that's why he's saying these are more, is it doesn't matter about them. You just all take everything, let them all go back to Godhead. So, yeah. Srila Vasudeva Dutta knew very well that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original personality of Godhead, transcendence itself, above the material conception of illusion and maya. Lord Jesus Christ certainly finished the sinful reactions of his followers by his mercy, but that does not mean he completely delivered them from the pangs of material existence. A person may be relieved from sins once, but it is a practice amongst Christians to confess sins and yet commit them again. By getting freed from sins and again engaging in them, one cannot attain freedom from the pangs of material existence. A diseased person may go to a physician for relief, but after he leaves the hospital, he may again be infected due to his unclean habits. Thus, material existence continues. Srila Vasudeva Dutta wanted to completely relieve the conditioned souls from material existence, so they would no longer have an opportunity to commit sinful acts. This is the significant difference between Srila Vasudeva Dutta and Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great offense to receive pardon for sins and then commit the same sins again. Such an offense is more dangerous than the sinful activity itself. So, because people will just think, oh, I'm saved, and they can do whatever we like. So it's actually a more difficult position. Because how much are they surrendering? How much are they bringing themselves closer to the Lord? Yeah, like that. And it's also a lot of times you see it depends upon where it's being. But the Christians will think because of their bodily condition they're superior. Right? Because let's say, you can say, no, it's because they're Christian. But then, okay, the Europeans, then they go to other places in the world which are non-Christian. And then they go in there and take over because they're superior, because they're Christian. Fine, fair enough. But now when the locals become Christian, now they should be on an equal level. But they, historically, there's no incident. You know, over hundreds and hundreds of years and all that, but still today you still have those. It's because we're European, you know, a background, that's why we're superior. Of course, don't tell them that, you know, how you say, as Caucasians, just, you know, being out of the sun a long time, but the original Caucasians come a little farther over this side. You know, and they, you know, move. So over 1,000 years, okay, yeah, complexion goes.
Without any other South India, they converted everybody saying that, well, there's so much casteism in Hinduism. And then when their marriage happened, this Christian of this caste get married to this.
Yeah, yeah. I had number one devotee. They were from Brahmin background, but you know, whenever some generations back had become Christians, and so then you know he became a devotee, and then when he was thought about marriage and all that, and he mentioned to his mother and all that, and then his mother, who's Christian, you know, then she says, remember, we're Brahmins, you'd have to marry a Brahmin girl, don't marry someone else. It never goes away, you know. Only Vaishnavas can deal with that. Okay. So,
is it the same person?
I think so.
Again?
He came in, but then when he saw me, just kind of kept walking and went that way. Can you go and check maybe what's the buzz? You know, is he just looking for a quick way to the football field, or, you know?
Maybe he checked. Maybe some other people are here.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Someone else is going to come with them. Yes. So the problem is, yeah, it's just a matter of the position that they're taking, what's being offered. Vasudev Dutta was so liberal that he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to transfer all offensive activity upon him so the conditioned souls would be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. This prayer was certainly without duplicity. Yeah. And he was considering the whole universe, you know. Vasudev Dutta's example is unique, not only within this world, but within the universe.
But it's a park
where
you can sit and chant.
Oh, okay, so he was just coming to hang out in the park.
Nice park?
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. There's another nice park over there.
It's really public, you know, fans and two gates.
Yeah. Big wall. Yeah, it's all just. It is beyond the conception of fruit of actors or the speculation of mundane philosophers. Due to being illusioned by the external energy and due to poor fund of knowledge, people tend to envy one another. Because of this, they are entangled in fruit of activity, and they try to escape this fruit of activity by mental speculation. Consequently, neither karmis nor jnanis are purified. In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are kukarmis and kugyanis, bad fruit of actors and bad speculators. The Mayavadis and karmis should therefore turn their attention to the magnanimous Vasudev Dutta, who wanted to suffer for others in a hellish condition. No one should consider Vasudev Dutta a mundane philanthropist or welfare worker, right? Because it's not that he's freeing them from the material and then having a better material. It's freeing from the material and going to the spiritual. Nor was he interested in merging into the Brahman effulgence or in gaining material honor or reputation. He was far, far above philanthropists, philosophers, and fruit of actors. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudev Dutta. As the perfect Vaishnav, he was para dukkha dukhi, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such a great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified, and all conditioned souls are also glorified. As Narottam Das Thakur confirms, Vasudev Dutta is the ideal devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gorangera sangi gane nitya siddha karimane se jaya vajendra sutapash. One who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee engaging in the deliverance of the total population is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 1953. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushe Namaha. Such a personality factually represents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his heart is always filled with compassion for all conditioned souls. 215, 164, 169. So he says it's not an exaggeration, he is the most merciful. Like that. You don't find anyone with this attitude. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Dutta's statement, his heart became very soft. Tears flowed from his eyes and he began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he spoke as follows. Accepting Vasudev Dutta as a great devotee, the Lord said, such a statement is not at all astonishing because you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It appears that Lord Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about it. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no duty other than to fulfill the desire of his devotee. You desired the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered, even without your undergoing the tribulations of sinful activity. Krishna is not incompatible, for he has all potencies. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosoever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnav, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here informed Vasudeva Dutta that since Krishna is all-powerful, he can immediately deliver all conditioned souls from material existence. In essence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You desire the liberation of all kinds of living entities without discrimination. You are very anxious for their good fortune, and I say that simply by your prayer, all living entities within the universe can be liberated. You do not even have to take up the burden of their sinful activities. Thus, there is no need for you to suffer for their sinful activities, sinful lives. Whoever receives your compassion becomes a Vaishnava immediately, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities." So then we can see then the best welfare work is then making people into devotees, and then Krishna will save them. 2.5.170.172. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, who regulates the sufferings and enjoyments of due to fruit of activity. He does this for everyone, from the heavenly king Indra down to the smallest insect, Indugopa. That very personality of Godhead destroys the karmic reactions of one engaged in devotional service." Footnote 22. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5.54. Very nice translation, this one. "Because of your honest desire, all living entities within the universe will be delivered. For Krishna does not have to do anything to deliver all the living entities of the universe. Just as there are millions of fruits on the Udumbara tree, millions of universes float on the waters of the river Viraja." Srila Prabhupada. Viraja is a river that divides the material world from the spiritual world. On one side of the river Viraja is the effulgence of Brahma Loka and innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and on the other side is this material world. It is to be understood that this side of the Viraja River is filled with material planets floating in the causal ocean. The name Viraja indicates a marginal position between the material and spiritual and material worlds. But the Viraja River is not under the control of the material energy. Consequently, it is devoid of the three gunas. Mm-hmm. So that's on the other side. So if you have they're all floating, that means this is the spiritual. Then the Viraja is there. Then that means everything's on this side, floating. You know, just as the reflection is upside down. Mm-hmm. So then it's also. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The Udumbara tree is filled with millions of fruits, and if one falls down and is destroyed, the tree does not even consider the loss. In the same way, if one universe is vacated due to the living entities having been liberated, that is a very little thing for Krishna. He does not take it very seriously. The entire spiritual world constitutes the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets there. The causal ocean is considered the surrounding waters of Vaikuntha Loka. Maya and her unlimited material universes are situated in that causal ocean. Indeed, Maya appears to be floating like a pot filled with mustard seeds. Of the millions of mustard seeds floating in that pot, if one seed is lost, the loss is not at all significant. Similarly, if one universe is lost, it is not significant to Lord Krishna. To say nothing of one universal mustard seed, even if all the universes and the material energy, Maya, are destroyed, Krishna does not even consider the loss. The person possessing millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he does not consider the loss. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. The entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose, right? Because, you know, Lakshmiji says that a billionth of a billionth portion is all it takes to manage the whole Mahatattva. Mm-hmm. You know, So that the whole Mahatattva is insignificant, let alone one universe. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in clarifying verses 171 to 179, states that the meaning of these stanzas is very simple, but that the purport is a little difficult to understand. Generally, the conditioned souls forget Krishna when they are enticed by the material external energy. Consequently, they are called Krishna Bahirmukha, bereft of their relationship with Krishna. When such a living entity comes under the jurisdiction of the material energy, he is sent into one of the innumerable material universes created by the material energy to give a chance to conditioned souls to fulfill their desires in the material world. Being very eager to enjoy the fruits of their activities, conditioned souls become involved in the actions and reactions of material life. Consequently, they enjoy and suffer the results of karma. However, if a conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious, the karma of his pious and impious activities is completely destroyed. Simply by becoming a devotee, one is freed of all the reactions of karma. Similarly, simply by the desire of devotee, a conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the results of karma. Since everyone can be liberated in this way, one may conclude that it is according to the sweet will of the devotee whether the material world exists or does not exist. Ultimately, however, it is not the sweet will of the devotee, but the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, if he so desires, can completely annihilate the material creation. There is no loss on his part. The owner of millions of cows does not consider the loss of one she-goat. Similarly, Lord Krishna is the proprietor of both the material and spiritual universes. The material world consists only of one-fourth of his creative energy. If, according to the desire of the devotee, the Lord completely destroys the creation, he is so opulent that he will not mind the loss. Right? So in other words, saying that it's not a problem for Krishna to liberate the whole universe. It's not that he's worried, oh, this guy did this, he has to stay. No, it's not, because there's unlimited ones of them. 215-180, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O my Lord, O unconquerable one, O master of all potencies, please exhibit your internal potency to conquer the nescience of all moving and inert living entities. Due to nescience, they accept all kinds of faulty things, thus provoking... Okay.
Talking about nescience.
Yes. I guess you can't. Okay. Due to nescience, they accept all kinds of faulty things, thus provoking a fearful situation. O Lord, please show your glories. You can do this very easily, for your internal potency is beyond the external potency. And you are the reservoir of all opulence. You are also the demonstrator of the material potency. You are also engaged in your pastimes in the spiritual world, where you exhibit your reserved internal potency. And sometimes you exhibit the external potency by glancing over it. Thus you manifest your pastimes. The Veda confirm your two potencies and accept both types of pastimes due to them. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.14. It is from the prayers of the Shruti Gana, the personified Vedas, who glorify the Lord. The Almighty Personality of Godhead has three potencies, internal, external, and marginal. The conditioned souls who are condemned due to their forgetfulness of the Lord are put under the control of the external potency. And when she creates the material world, the three modes of material nature keep the living entity in a constant state of fear. Bhayam dvitiya bhivineshata. The conditioned soul is always fearful due to being controlled by the external potency. Therefore, the conditioned soul should always pray to the Almighty Lord to conquer the external potency maya, so that she will no longer manifest her powers, which blind all living entities, moving and inert. By praying in this way, one will become eligible to remain constantly in the association of the Lord, thus fulfilling the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. 215, 181, 182. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the good qualities of his devotees, one after another. He then embraced them and bade them farewell. Due to the impending separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees began to cry. What is this?
Somebody is moving.
Who is that?
Итак, Карма Прабху, Харибон, мы тут читаем...
Да, я пришел на ваш аудио...
Тут Махарадж.
Кстати, у нас сейчас Махарадж лекцию читает.
Простите. А я надумал, вы даете, простите, пришел.
Ой. He got the old Prabhu is giving class.
Все, ухожу.
Oh, it came for the class.
Yes.
Аккуратно пробудьте, там темно.
Okay.
И здесь тебе не будет, защита.
It's not moving here.
Yeah, no, it's just, he likes the classes so much, he just wants to stay. Okay.
Every day somebody new comes.
Yeah, no, something strange. Yeah, yesterday is a...
Many people are coming here, actually. Many people are coming here.
Yeah, yeah. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the good qualities of his devotees one after the other. He then embraced them and bade them farewell. This is still working, no?
Yes.
That one, just that one's not.
That is also working.
It's working?
Yes.
Huh. Oh, wow. Impressive. Okay. He then embraced them and bade them farewell. Due to the impending separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees began to cry. The Lord was also morose due to separation from the devotees. Verses 183 to 270.
Maharaj, I read somewhere that from the day that the Bengali Vaishnava decide to be Puri, it takes about 7 days.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say when we answer, I was going to put years.
It takes about a week for them to gradually get used to the fact that they're going to be away from Lord Chaitanya. And it's the same for him, you know, the separation is just too painful.
Mm. Yeah, a week's pretty good.
It's 200 or 300 or better.
Yeah, I mean, the gopis, they're separated from Krishna, and then when they meet him, there's that initial point of that happiness of being there, and then they get overwhelmed by, soon he'll go away.
Right.
So it already starts before.
It's very standard in culture. Like when we used to go to village, to home of like relatives,
right.
When you have to come, first time when you decide to go, you'll not go. They'll make you stay back. Second time may not be. Third time, okay.
Okay. It takes a few times to be able to go. Okay.
You get ready, everything. Stay some more time. You have to drop it.
Change the tickets. Okay.
In those times, it's like...
It's like, when are you leaving?
Huh? You're going to drink the tea, they say. You know, when are you going? After I drink the tea.
Yeah. And then in Shantipur is when you come to the door, they open the door. Oh, next time you come, you must stay for lunch, and then close the door. Right? So, they're like the best.
And Jewish guests, they say Haribol, and they don't go.
Yeah. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invites the Lord for prasadam. 215-183. Gadadhar Pandit remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was given a place to live at Yameshwara. Srila Prabhupada. Yameshwara is on the southwest side of Jagannath Temple. Gadadhar Pandit resided there, and there was a small garden and sandy beach known as Yameshwara Tota. So that means it's on the opposite side of where Kashimitra's is. Yeah, yeah.
It's not a Gopinath.
Oh.
That's the temple, the down.
Oh, the Tota means the hill.
Yeah.
The Tota Gopinath means the Gopinath on the hill.
Yeah.
So that's side a little bit farther down, no?
Yeah, it's quite far from Kashimitra.
Yes, I'm saying you go down and keep going down to the...
Yeah, south.
Okay.
South.
Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at Jagannath Puri, Neelachal with Paramananda Puri, Jagarananda, Srup Damodar, Damodar Pandit, Govinda, and Kashishwara. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's daily practice to see Lord Jagannath in the morning. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands and submitted a request. Since all the Vaishnavas had returned to Bengal, there was a good chance that the Lord would accept an invitation. Otherwise, then you have so many. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Please accept my invitation for lunch for 1 month." Oh, I see. It's not for a day, for a month. Oh, okay. Start off. The Lord replied, "That is not possible, because it is against the religious principles of a sannyasi." Sarvabhauma then said, "Please accept the invitation for 20 days. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "It is not a religious principle of the renounced order." When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept lunch for 15 days, the Lord said, "I shall accept lunch at your house, your place, for 1 day only." So he got 1 day, because he started with 30 and then come down. Good. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet and submissively begged, "Please accept lunch for at least 10 days." In this way, by and by, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced the duration to 5 days.
Standard Indian bargain.
Yeah.
Place everywhere.
Yeah, no, it works.
Is that from 30 get 5?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, you come in and, "How much is this sari?" "Oh, this sari is 2 lakhs rupees. I'll give you 10 paisa." Okay, 1 lakh, 15 paisa.
Sarvabhauma should have invited him for 2 months in a row.
He could have got
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Or he could have said, until the devotees come back from Bengal, so 8 months, and then...
Most of the times, like, we used to fear to go with our mothers to shop because we feel very embarrassed with the cost which they ask some product. We used to feel really embarrassed, like, How can you ask for 10 rupees, 20 rupees, something which is like, you know, a school bag or something?
Yeah, but then the fun part is they get it, you know. Mary used to see that in Vrindavan. You go out, you know, you kind of have that price of the wallas, you know, at the rickshaw wallas, and you try to hit the lower part of that, but then they'll argue, and, you know, you may get or may not, you know, you may walk a bit. Yeah. But I remember that Prithivardhan Maharaj, he'll walk out and, you know, it means back when it was like 10 rupees or this, he'll walk out and just as he's walking, he doesn't even look at him. And they go, okay, he'll just go, 3 rupees, you know, something like that. You know, like ridiculous. I think you're never going to get. We keep walking. By the end, he has a rickshaw, you know, because there's nobody else out. He knows the time that there's no one there. So that can sit there all day. They can get 3 rupees or sit there, you know.
In Vrindavan now, previously, all the rickshaws to Loy was 100 rupees, 200 rupees. Previous years, yes, this year, I was going and then I was preparing 100 rupees. And then I'm coming and the guy says, 50 rupees. I look at him, 50? He said, 40. He said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so amazing.
So the Indian price they quoted, basically, mm-hmm. because the novice was coming visiting.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's just the local
Indian
price. And that's the high Indian price.
Yeah,
you probably could have got it for 30 years.
But I just was not prepared. I was prepared for 100.
Instead of 200, yeah. That's so crazy. Like that. Yeah. I'd walk and save the money and buy, you know, when you had that, what is it, Govardhan Sweets place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brajbasi, you know, and buy yourself a box there. That would be
safe to walk there. You can be.
It's not safe.
No, you can be hit by anything there.
Oh, okay.
So much traffic.
Okay. Thus, for 5 days, he regularly accepted the Bhattacharya's invitation to lunch. After this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "My lord, there are 10 sannyasis with you." Srila Prabhupada. The sannyasi should not cook food for himself or accept an invitation to eat at a devotee's house continuously for many days. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very kind and affectionate towards his devotees, yet he would not accept a long invitation at Sarvabhauma's house. Out of affection, he accepted only 5 days in the month. The 10 sannyasis living with the Lord were 1. Paramananda Puri, 2. Surup Damodar, 3. Brahmananda Puri, 4. Brahmananda Bharati, 5. Vishnu Puri, 6. Keshava Puri, 7. Krishnananda Puri, 8. Nishinga Tirtha, 9. Sukhananda Puri, and 10. Satyananda Bharati. Wow. Yes?
Also, when Prabhuji was telling that all months, he's actually meaning the whole month you accept. That's why it's told that 5 days in 1 month, yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to his home. Means when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested, he said, in a month you come, all the 30 days, if not 20 days. Or
oh, so it's not that just for this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Every month.
Yeah, because that's why it said, 5 days in a month, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is
home.
Every month.
Yeah, it says he accepted only 5 days in the month. Like that. So, yeah, you know, it could be meaning every month. Well, 2.15.194.186. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then submitted that Paramananda Puri Goswami would accept a 5-day invitation at his place. This had already been settled before the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Srup Dharmadhar is my intimate friend. He will come sometimes with you and sometimes alone." Mm-hmm. The other 8 sannyasis will accept invitations for 2 days each. In this way, there will be engagements for each and every day during the entire month.
Yes.
So that's where he gets Srila Prabhupada. During the entire month, consisting of 30 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 5 days. Yes. Paramananda Puri would visit for 5 days. Srup Damodar for 4 days. And the other 8 sannyasis for 2 days each. Yes. In this way, the 30 days of the month would be fulfilled. Yes. Yes. Right? Because, you know, the 30 means you're talking about the lunar month. Mm. Like that. I doubt that they were working on a Gregorian calendar. You know, probably not even Julian, right? You know.
So even there, he was receiving one sannyasi.
Yes, you know, from his group. Yeah. 2.15.197.204. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "If all the
sannyasis
where he's going with this. Huh? If all the sannyasis came together, it would not be possible for me to pay them proper respect." Oh, I thought he was going to say, "Now if they all come together, then you can all come for every day." That's okay. If all the sannyasis came together, it would not be possible for me to pay them proper respects, because he wouldn't be able to take care of them all nicely and serve her so nicely. Therefore, therefore, I would be an offender. Sometimes you will come alone to my place, and sometimes you will be accompanied by Srup Damodar. Having this arrangement confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya became very glad and immediately invited the Lord to his house on that very day. Okay. Oh, not bad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife was known as Shatira Mata, the mother of Shati. She was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she was affectionate.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll hear about all this afterwards. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.